Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. Former President Donald Trump due to be arraigned this afternoon in the nation's capital on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. In announcing that indictment this week, Special Counsel Jack Smith and his office will push for a speedy trial, adding that they're ready to have all of the evidence tested in a court of law. The man convicted of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue has been sentenced to death.
A federal jury reached that unanimous decision on Wednesday. The jurors had deliberated for about 10 hours over the course of 2 days. Joe Reck is president of Pittsburgh's Dor Hadash Synagogue.
I am feeling a sense of relief that after 4.5 years, the world has heard again about the horrific acts on October 27, 2018. And the shooter is being held accountable for those awful acts.
Robert Bowers was convicted in June on more than 60 charges connected to the 2018 shooting. Last month, a jury decided Bowers was eligible for the death penalty. I'm John Schaefer.
An Oregon man in custody after a woman claimed he kidnapped her and held her captive in his garage. That woman said she was working as a prostitute in Washington State when she was abducted on July 15th. She claimed she was sexually assaulted in a makeshift prison cell in his garage in Klamath Falls until she was able to escape. Stocks closed lower yesterday at the closing bell. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 348 points. Investors today will be keeping an eye out for weekly jobless claims data, with most analysts predicting that the number will come in at right around 227,000, up from the previous week. This is USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
July was hotter for most of the planet than it would have been without the effects of climate change. The nonprofit Climate Central looked at the climate in July for over 4,700 cities globally and found that for over 80% of the world population, at least one day in the past month had a weather shift that was not normal. There's an update on the Hollywood strike.
Striking writers and Hollywood studios will start talking again this week. The Writers Union, the Writers Guild of America, confirmed last night that it will resume talks with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers about negotiations on Friday. I'm Lance Pry.
The day off to a good start for SpaceX. The company successfully launched a rocket this morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The Falcon 9 rocket was carrying a communications satellite.
I'm a bad guy.
Lollapalooza kicks off today in Chicago's Grant Park. This year, the four-day music festival features over 170 bands, including headliners Billie Eilish, Kendrick Lamar, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Lana Del Rey. For those of you music lovers unable to make it to Chicago, don't worry. Lollapalooza will be streaming live on Hulu starting this afternoon. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
It was your best vacation ever.
You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with him. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. By the way, when you go there, we're remodeling. The website is in process of being totally reworked and renewed. And you're going to be excited with the new functionality and offerings there just to make things easier and, you know, better for you as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads and to get, you know, get this country back on track. Why not? I mean, it's absolute madness. You know, the crisis of our Constitution that's taking place right now, the attack on our First Amendment right, this latest indictment. Now, as we were talking about earlier, we're going to be punished for the way we think, for the thoughts we have. I mean, this is what this indicates. So when people are jumping up and down and getting excited about it, it's like, you have no idea. All it is you're really demonstrating just how ignorant of the law that you are because you hate Donald Trump so much. You think anything that works against Donald Trump is just wonderful. But you got to understand what they have launched. It's kind of like I want to bring Megan Barth here right now and get her insight on this. You know, Megan, you remember that movie, The Hunt for Red October, the submarine movie?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay, right.
Yes.
Remember the commander of the submarine said, okay, you know, take off the arming device and the safety device and send out that missile. And he goes and he sends it, and of course they miss the other submarine, and it turns around and comes back, and you hear the one officer saying, "You idiot, you just killed us." Because it came back and, you know, was disarmed and the safety mechanisms were off because this guy, out of, you know, hubris and arrogance and everything else that goes along with it, fires off this missile and ends up blowing up his own ship. And I see this as a rendition of what the Democratic Party is doing with, you know, Jack Smith and this weaponized Justice Department, is that they're sending off a missile with no regard, no safety conditions on it whatsoever. And, you know, because they've been shooting at Trump now, what, for 6-7 years? And they've come up with bupkis, and now what are we up to? How many indictments are in play now? Do you know?
Oh, I have no idea. I lost track.
I know. Yeah, it's a 50, 60, maybe 100. I don't know. They just keep mounting. It's so stupid. But and the American people get it. And the deal is that if they land it, I mean, Trump is, 78, right? 78? And so he's 78, and so if they land it, I mean, he's got an accumulation of some like 500 years in jail. So, I mean, we not only want him dead, we want him really dead. Very dead, right? That's how stupid this is.
Right. It's not only stupid, it's very concerning. We obviously have been watching the two systems of justice whereby the Biden crime family can pretty much get away with anything, including laundering money, setting up multiple bank accounts to accept foreign quote-unquote donations for what we really don't know. Hunter Biden can walk around completely strung out on crack, drugs, hookers, and wield a gun. And the plea deal that Hunter was supposed to enter into last week was probably one of the best plea deals that no one in the world outside of, unless you're connected to Biden, and somehow they flubbed that up. And so when we
even Jesus wouldn't have got that plea deal, man. I'm sorry to say, you know, it's incredible. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And so now with this latest indictment, it seems like they were just trying to grab at anything, throw it in there, and see what would stick. And the problem with this is that, you know, when this does go to trial, I believe it's going to go to trial in D.C. Well, good luck with the jury pool there.
Right. That always bothers me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, isn't it supposed to be a jury of your peers? How are the people in D.C. representative of a true jury of Donald Trump's peers when you've got 96% of them hate his guts? I mean, they hate the man, right? So I don't get that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right. So, you know, the writing's pretty much already on the wall. And so when you look at the latest indictment, it really is quite chilling in the fact that, and I'm certainly no lawyer, but I can, you know, kind of read between the lines and take out and legalize it. But it really is chilling on political action, free speech, like everything pretty much in the First Amendment.
Right. That's what Professor Turley said, is exactly what you're saying. To quote him, he said, many of the things that the prosecutor is charging here is protected speech. The most jarring thing about this indictment is that it basically just accuses him of disinformation. So in other words, it's not even what you said. It's just the fact that, you know, well, yeah, it is what you said, but it assumes, and also the other thing is, it assumes what was in his heart. What was he thinking, you know, in coming to this opinion? You know, it's like, what?
Right.
So now we got the thought police on hand.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of, there's another side to this that's really concerning to me, is that as far as January 6th goes, no one really knows what truly happened.
Exactly.
Meaning there's 14,000 or some odd hours of video surveillance that just remains missing.
Try over 40,000. It's actually over 40,000. They told us 14.
40,000? Okay.
And then when Tucker Carlson got his hands on it, they discovered it was over 40,000 hours of video that they got their hands on.
Right. We don't know how many FBI agents infiltrated. We know that FBI agents infiltrated the crowd, but we don't know how many. We don't know how many bad actors were in that crowd that weren't Trump supporters, you know, whether it was Antifa or what have you, those that were just there to cause violence.
Well, we know that. You were there. You were there. So you saw the signs. You don't have a specific number. It hasn't been documented. I think FBI records and information and emails came out the other day, said there was at least 40 FBI agents in play there on January the 6th. And, you know, and you talked about it. You keep asking about it, going, well, we're not even talking about the bombs. Who put the bombs at the Democrat and the Republican headquarters? And that's just like,
no
oh-hum.
Idea.
Yeah, let's stop
right.
there.
We have no idea. And that was hours before,
exactly.
which indicates that there was, you know, some sort of anarchy in play, because the pipe bomber didn't just choose the Republican headquarters. They chose both. They chose Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just don't understand how, without all the facts on the table, they're just presuming, as they have since January 6th, that it was a quote-unquote insurrection.
Yeah. But to your point, though, Megan, I'm sorry, go ahead. We have 35 seconds. I'll let you finish it up, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so without all of the facts laid out for any jury, let alone the public, to see, how do we know what really happened?
Amen. Well, and I got to tell you, a majority of the Americans, based on polling and their their clear-headedness and open eyes can look at it, and their opinion, their thoughts do not align with Jack Smith's by no means. We've got to go to break. More from Megan on the other side. Stay with us.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358. Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. And speaking of independent and always fresh, we've got Megan Barth with us. She's leaving us. I mean, she's going on vacation. She's going to Maui. Can you believe this? A last-minute junket. She's gone there. I mean, you know, here. I mean, you're living the life. I mean, 1 week you're talking with Donald Trump. Next minute, you're off to Maui.
Yeah, it's a very deserved vacation. Running a news website is definitely not for the faint-hearted.
No, not at all. But how much? Well, especially too with all these news cycles that are going on, it's like you're thinking, yeah. Okay, what other shoe is going to drop while you're away? Because that's the thing. I think, okay, maybe I can take a break. But with all this stuff, especially with Devin Archer and we're breaking that down. And I keep reminding people. I go, all he's doing is confirming things that we knew a couple of years ago when Tony Bobulinski came out and said, hey, he's the big guy, you know, this is it. And but certainly now Devin Archer's put him in the room, put him, connected. I'm talking about Joe Biden, connected to, over 20 phone calls, interactions. This is the president of the United States now who says that he's never, I've never talked about business with my son. Oh, you're so full of it. Oh my gosh! And it's just and the thing that's so hysterical about this, Megan, it's just neat to observe the left and how they try to spin it and try to make sense out of nonsense, like that crazy congressman Dan Goldman. I mean he's like America's version of Baghdad Bob, you know. Unbelievable.
Right,
between him and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler. I mean these guys are like the three amigos of madness.
Yeah, well, it's just amazing to me the lengths that the Democratic Party will go and do in order to cover up crime. And so I guess, and it's not even really cover up, it's just kind of like they're acceptable. Like what Joe Biden and the Biden family has done over years, as evidenced through bank records, et cetera, is completely, I guess, just acceptable to the Democratic Party that, you know, money laundering is okay. As long as you're a Democrat, accepting.
It's the way they roll. You're exactly right. This has been done. I mean, if the truth be known and we go back, this just didn't happen just under, Barack Obama's watch. That's the other thing, too. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop, is that eventually, there's got to be tentacles because you've got three of his lieutenants. You got Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, we know for sure, and, of course, Joe Biden, all interacting with foreign nations, getting money for one foundation or another. This is like a form of insider trading, special insider trading that's reserved for the ruling elites, right? And this is all done just in these particular episodes under the watch of Barack Obama. And nobody's bringing it up. So you're thinking, okay, well, we know about the big guy. Is there kind of a nondescript bigger guy that there's some flow that maybe, Joe and Hillary and John Kerry are, cutting off a couple of slices there for the bigger big guy? I don't know.
Yeah, no one really knows, but what we do know, as far as the facts that have been presented through bank records and phone calls and whistleblower testimony, FBI agents, Devin Archer, you name it, is that there is significant evidence of criminal activity directly related to then Vice President Joe Biden and his family. Right. And I think we've talked before, and I've been on many radio shows that many of the hosts will say, well, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, well, this is going to get them now. Well, no, it's not, actually, because what's scared Garland, Merrick Garland, I always want to call him Garrett Marlin, Merrick Garland going to do with all of this evidence, and my response, and it has been for years, is nothing.
Exactly.
Because that's the system that's in play.
Yeah. Well, they're protected. See, and they're counting on that safety net. Hunter Biden is exposed a bit right now, but, they're running out the clock. They'll do, everything they can. Because the thing, this is the way they roll. This is so nefarious and so incestuous all at the same time. It's not even the deep state. It's a cesspool. It's a cesspool of corruption, and they all have been doing it so long that I would think, and this is just me having some hope for human nature, is that if they really came to the understanding, the true understanding of what evil they've been involved with and how corrupt this is, they might have a moment of pause and maybe some shame. But they're so well practiced, and this is so well entrenched that they keep on going, and there's no shame. They think that, hey, this just comes with the job. You know, Nancy Pelosi, insider trading. You know, this idea that, you know, they're making, what, 170, tops 180,000 a year, and they come out after being a politician and they're gazillionaires? Where did that come? I mean, somehow that when you're on the Beltway, there's you go to Leprechaunville and you find the end of the rainbow and you get all this treasure chest. But you have to be you've got to be a legislator. You've got to be elected to office. You're elected to office, then you get the golden key and you get the golden map that Indiana Jones has been looking for all his life, and you get that golden map and the key, and that gets you right there to the bucket of gold and the leprechauns, and you party on. I don't know.
Well, right. It must be, you know, obviously on paper it's very enriching and rewarding monetarily. But obviously there's something a lot more. But obviously there's something a lot more into it because they never retire. They never hang up their gavel. Nancy Pelosi finally hung up her gavel. We have Dianne Feinstein who can't even lift her head or know where she is, and she's voting on different pieces of legislation, and she has absolutely no idea what she's voting on. We have Mitch McConnell, who went into a catatonic, what looked like stroke, in front of the press and froze for nearly a minute, just staring off blankly into space. If these recent episodes with Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein, and the list goes on and on.
Well, yeah, I mean, between Fetterman, yeah, exactly. I mean, and the Democratic Party is loaded. I mean, Joe Biden, the synapses are not firing. I mean, you know, Kamala Harris, her synapses, I don't know where they're at, but I mean, they're not firing either. And I don't think it's necessarily because of some mental deficiency. I think that's more of a, you know, an ideological fixed, Jordan Peterson thing that, you know, you just render yourself stupid when you become so ideologically fixed that you don't make sense. And that's where it is. And you sit there and you line these up and you listen, you know, you try to listen. So painful with Fetterman. And then, like you said, it was so embarrassing the other day with Dianne Feinstein and Joe Biden. He's a comic reel. I mean, it's just like you could spend the whole evening just watching all these outtakes of Joe Biden. And it's not made up stuff. It's not something from the Babylon Bee that they had to contrive or, you know, SNL or anything like that doing it. It's Joe Biden. And don't forget. Let's not forget Corinne Jean-Pierre. I love her. Oh my gosh! I mean, this is, you know, so it is laughable because otherwise your head would explode. You know, you would take it too seriously, Megan. You know, I have to laugh. It's just so sad. And the thing is that's what we're paying for, that craziness with our hard-earned taxpayers.
We're paying for it in multiple ways. And for those that are screaming term limits, what we're going to rely on the very people that are abusing their power to somehow limit that power.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that much power, you certainly aren't going to do a self-awareness check and say, oh, nope, I don't want any more power. It's time for me to go. And so how does this power become controlled? Because concentrated power, as there is in D.C., ultimately corrupts. And that's exactly what we're witnessing. And so without any safeguards, without any guardrails, this will continue.
They've ignored the safeguards, Megan. That's the point. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why they don't, the Constitution is a minor irritant for them now. Because they don't take it seriously.
No, not at all. That's why they call it a living and breathing document, so they can basically kill it. Yeah. By the time that they're done.
And you're going to trust these brain trusts to interpret it rightly, right?
Right.
Just saying. This is crazy stuff. Hey, this is the America we live in today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't blame you for being a little frightened. I'm right with you. But look, I have faith in the American people. I know you do too, Megan. That we're strong and we can do this.
How do you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance. And in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs. So whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
USA News Update. Former President Donald Trump due to be arraigned this afternoon in the nation's capital on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The man convicted of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue has been sentenced to death.
A federal jury reached that unanimous decision on Wednesday. The jurors had deliberated for about 10 hours over the course of 2 days. Robert Bowers was convicted in June on more than 60 charges connected to the 2018 shooting. Last month, the jury decided Bowers was eligible for the death penalty.
An Oregon man in custody after a woman claimed he kidnapped her and held her captive in a makeshift cell in his garage. Stocks closed lower yesterday. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 348 points. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. You want to throw an X my way, you can do that at BMartinezLive.com. Sean Mirsky is going to join us in just a moment. We're going to talk about his new book, We May Dominate the World, Ambition, Anxiety, and the Rise of the American Colossus. What did it take for the United States to become a global superpower? You ever stop for a moment and consider that? Well, the answer lies in a missing chapter of American foreign policy with stark lessons for today, Sean says. The cutthroat world of international politics has always been dominated by great powers, yet no great power in the modern era has ever managed to achieve the kind of invulnerability that comes from being completely supreme in its own neighborhood. No great power, that is, except one, and that would be the United States. Sean Mirsky, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wow, what an awesome lesson here. This is so, I'm so glad you did this. I mean, what happened? I mean, how did you get motivated to say I've got to write this? I got to document history and put this together. Was this like a 3 o'clock in the morning constant wake up call? You know, that wouldn't leave you alone until you did it.
In a sense, it's funny actually, yeah. But the thing that got me into this book is actually China today, because mm-hmm. one of the truisms of international relations is that rising powers tend to be aggressive and expansionist, and by that I mean they tend to pick fights with other great powers. They tend to meddle in the affairs of their neighbors, and in general, they tend to make themselves bigger and bigger nuisances in the world. And I think China's bearing that out, but there's still a long way to go. And so I thought it would be useful to try and understand why it is that rising powers act that way. And in particular, I thought it would be really interesting to look at the example of another rising power, the United States, that you might have thought might have taken a different course just because, you know, we as a country were sort of founded on principles of anti-colonialism, respect mm-hmm. for sovereignty, republicanism. And, you know, it didn't quite turn out that way, and I thought it would be interesting to look at why.
Yeah, it is, because it's a consistent model, isn't it? I mean, just from the beginning of time, there's nothing new under the sun here, and so we see a repeatable pattern time and again. You know, Sean, we were talking about this the other day. It's, you know, I have conversations with people. Unfortunately, our show reaches beyond the United States. It's becoming more and more an international show. And so we get comments from people outside of the country. And some of them are, you know, kind of mean. And, you know, and you think, well, why do you feel that way about us? And they go, didn't we help you, you know, during, you know, this catastrophe and, you know, this event in your life? And we sent a bunch of money and, you know, resources to help you. Yeah, but then, and then they're quick to remind us, yeah, but you guys also, you know, brought the CIA in to do regime change and kill people. And so here it is, you know, most of America, probably 99% of America thinks, gosh, you know, here we're well-meaning. We're trying to do our best, to all these other countries. But then we have these malignant players on the scene that really misrepresent the heart and spirit of America. I mean, a little bit of kind of what you're saying is that you think, whoa, oh no, not America. You know, our values, the way we came from, you know, that we're different. We're not like everybody else. But what you're discovering is that we're actually no different, are we?
Yeah, I mean, and you put your finger on exactly the puzzle that in some sense motivated this book. I was looking at the period from essentially the start of the U.S. Civil War in 1860-1861 all the way through the start of the Cold War, so almost a century of American foreign policy. And, you know, I think most Americans, if you ask them, they have a rough sense that the United States was probably not on its best behavior vis-a-vis its neighbors during this time. Mm-hmm. But when you start digging into it, I mean, it really is shocking just how often we are intervening militarily in our neighbors. The book, the kind of heart of the book is from 1898 to 1919, this period, this 20-year period where we were using force against our neighbors an average of nearly three times a year. And some of those uses of force were relatively minor, you know, landing Marines to protect an embassy during a revolution or something like that. But other uses of force were rather dramatic. I mean, everything from annexations and protectorates to occupations and counterinsurgencies, coups, regime change. I mean, just really, really like a streak of interventionism that I think is really unprecedented, either before or afterwards in American history. And so on the one hand, you have this incredibly kind of aggressive record in American foreign policy. But at the same time, there's this sort of paradoxical reluctance among American policymakers to be doing much of this. And if you look at, you know, the presidents of the period, the secretaries of state of the period, they're actually not thrilled about what they're doing. They're not doing this sort of because, you know, they feel like it's, you know, an intervention of choice. They tend to see it as a last resort that they have to do, largely to protect American security imperatives. And so the book, I think, really kind of explores the tension you identified between sort of American values on the one hand and American behavior in some cases on the other hand.
Well, and this is the kind of stuff that's being taught in our universities today, but more from a negative perspective, right? Because what we're hearing more of the bad side, we're not really hearing a balanced approach of these policies. Do you see that dynamic, you know, arising and why these young kids have a more jaundiced perspective, if I might say, about America?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it's understandable. There's no denying sort of the record of what it is that the United States did in the region. I think if, you know, during the 1910s and 1920s, sort of the early part of our history, there was an effort, I think, to whitewash a lot of our interventions as having been, you know, for the good of our neighbors. I think, you know, that story has not really stood up under the test of time. And it's sort of clear that our interventions were, for the most part, fairly catastrophic for the nations we were involved in. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I do think that there's sometimes a tendency to sort of assume the absolute worst of American motives for what we were doing. But the argument that I make in the book is essentially that the United States was engaged in a very fierce, great power competition with its rivals in Europe, primarily Germany during this period. And there was this real concern that Germany was going to come into the Western Hemisphere and colonize parts of it as part of its larger policy of Weltpolitik, this world politics that you know, in many ways sort of prefigured the kind of global aspirations of Nazi Germany a few decades later. And so the United States was really, I think, concerned about Germany coming into the hemisphere, and more than anything, it wanted to stop that. And in particular, it wanted to patch up the vulnerabilities it saw in its weak and unstable neighbors on the assumption that Germany would have a much easier time colonizing nations that were in the middle of civil war or racket revolution, or in general posing these kind of big power vacuums for that, you know, invited potential foreign expansion. And so the United States didn't come into this looking to colonize, didn't come into this looking to kind of intervene in neighbors. All it wanted to do was basically prevent them from presenting opportunities for expansion for its rivals. The problem was the United States never really figured out a good way to prevent its rivals from expanding into these power vacuums other than filling those power vacuums itself. And so paradoxically, I think the United States acted very aggressively, but I argue that it did so largely out of defensive motivation, the way of essentially keeping European great powers out of the Western Hemisphere.
Kind of interesting the way you lay this out. It's almost like they got sucked into their own vortex. You know, they created this vacuum, right? Is basically, that's the way I'm hearing you.
Well, and part of the problem, too, was, I mean, essentially what the United States was trying to do was nation build, right? I mean, it had, I'll just give you, you know, an example. Haiti in 1915, the United States occupied it, and the occupation lasted at almost 20 years. But that, you know, by the time the United States intervened, Haiti had gone through seven different presidents in the previous 7 years. You know, it was just, its finances were in catastrophic shape, and it was in general really struggling to kind of keep it together. And so when the United States went in, I mean, what it was trying to do was repair that situation to sort of bring Haiti into a more stable kind of place. But it turns out that the United States was no better at nation building by force, you know, in the 1900s and 1910s than it was in 2000. In 2010s in Iraq and Afghanistan, right? So our interventions ended up destabilizing the places we intervened in and paradoxically creating more of the very instability that we are trying to prevent.
Exactly. Well, we're talking with Sean Mirsky, his new book, We May Dominate the World, Ambition, Anxiety, and the Rise of the American Colossus. This is a fun journey of history. I hope you're taking notes. This is awesome stuff, what he's done, and really it blesses us to know more about, you know, about American history. And we're going to talk more on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Sean Mirsky is with us talking about his debut book, We May Dominate the World, Ambition, Anxiety, and the Rise of the American Colossus. He's a lawyer, U.S. foreign policy scholar who's worked on national security issues across multiple U.S. presidential administrations. That had to be fun for you. I mean, to be involved. What is it like? What, three different presidents that you were involved in, administrations?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I had the chance to be a special counsel to the general counsel in the U.S. Department of Defense. And so there's a saying inside the Pentagon that every single piece of paper has to go through two offices, the budgetary office to get the money and the legal office to get the legal approval. And so we are the legal office. It was a very small team, and so we had the chance to kind of see such a broad section of what the Pentagon was doing. And I was focused a lot on kind of the law of war kind of related issues, a little bit of law of the sea. And so just a really interesting cross view, I guess, into the operations of the U.S. Department of Defense.
Do you realize how many of us will never, ever come close to anything like that that you've experienced, how special this is? I mean, and so I can't help but ask you, if you can put up with me for just a minute more about this, is that... you know, what were your biggest takeaways from this experience?
Yeah, so one of the takeaways is actually something you'll hear from people who were far, far, far more senior than me, including President Obama, which he once said that he wished that the American people could see, could essentially be a fly on the wall during, like, a National Security Council meeting or a cabinet meeting. Because I think there's so much misunderstanding about the way the U.S. government operates, and I think in large part this misunderstanding sort of reflects a lack of knowledge about the way that decisions are made and the kind of the thoughtfulness and the time that kind of goes into those decisions. So, you know, I at least was sort of always blown away by the degree of conscientiousness and sort of thought and care that went into decisions. You know, as a lawyer who works on law of war issues, I was often asked, you know, is that something even that the, you know, Pentagon cares about? And the answer was absolutely. It's hard, in fact, to overstate just how important it is for U.S. Soldiers to really follow the laws of war. And it was something that, you know, everyone in the building took very, very seriously. But again, it doesn't, you know, one of the points of my book is that sometimes even people who are very smart, very thoughtful, very conscientious, and even acting out of the best motives can nevertheless kind of make decisions that lead to tragic outcomes. And so, you know, I don't think I was involved in any decisions like that, but, you know, you can certainly sort of see it where even kind of organizations, I think, that are operating really in a way that is not at all kind of like it is sometimes portrayed on, you know, frankly, on both sides of the political aisle, you know, nevertheless come to conclusions that are sort of end up being mistakes in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear a politician say that he wished that people could be a fly on the wall to see what's going on in some of these meetings, because, you know, you're in a sense opening yourself up for transparency, something that the American people are kind of hungry for, because in the absence of fact, then you got opinions and you got conspiracies and everything flying around. I think if there was some way that the American people were more informed about what's going on, but our institutions are such that they hold their cards very close to the chest and they leave us wondering and imagining. And I think this is what opens up, you know, the venues that we have right now. I mean, to where, you know, we almost had a department of misinformation, you know, operating in our government, and it still may, just because they decided to shut it down doesn't mean it's not going to be back, because we know what happens with a bureaucracy. I mean, it's like the blob. It just it grows another head and it comes back maybe in a different different iteration. Because somehow there are powers and people that think that, you know, it's their right to control thought, which, you know, according, you know, to the Constitution, a Constitution that I swore an oath to as a Marine, you know, that's verboten. That's anathema to the Democratic Republic. We've got to be able to have free speech. We've got to be able to have free thought, because that's when you're taking full advantage of the of the population, you know, 340 million people. That's a lot of brain, you know, engineering that's running around. I mean, I get it in different parts of the spectrum, but accumulate that brain trust, you got a powerful force going on.
Yeah, well, and I think so much of it too is, you know, understanding obviously that the first draft of whether it's history or kind of current, you know, modern day policy. Oftentimes the first draft isn't right, oftentimes the second draft isn't right, and it really takes a lot of kind of argument and debate among people who are coming from different perspectives to sort of to get it right. I mean, mm-hmm. just in the context of, you know, the book that I wrote, a lot of what I'm arguing does sort of go against the kind of conventional story as it's told and taught in many schools these days. Not necessarily because anyone kind of who believes that story or kind of develop that story was, you know, acting out of bad motives or anything. But I argue that the current kind of prevailing wisdom is incomplete. And it's important to have the space to sort of have those dissenting views, those revisionist
exactly.
views. Those, you know, it just ultimately contributes, I think, to the growth of knowledge and a better understanding of our history and of ourselves.
Exactly. I'm with you on it. I mean, you know, so what? You know, so what if people disagree? I mean, we did a show the other day, and we had this string of negative responses, and it was so funny because the owner of the network called me up and goes, "Whoa," you know, and he was all nervous and everything, like as if it was going to hurt. Are you kidding me? I'm excited. I go, at least they're paying attention, you know, and I welcome, you know, I welcome the controversy. Because that's how we become better. And here it is, you know, for all the hard work that you put into this, I mean, this is like, this is a project. I mean, there's a lot involved here in this book. I mean, you're what, almost 500 pages? Research.
I should say a good chunk of that is just footnotes that no one should be reading. So it's not quite that bad.
Well, but still, I mean, but yeah, to assemble. Okay, so almost 500. Let's just say 300 plus. That's still a lot of work. I don't care, you know. And how much time did it take you to put this book together from the first moment you said I got to put this together, where it went to the publisher? How much time are we talking about?
8 years.
So 8 years, and as they say, as the old artist said, 8 years plus a lifetime went into this book.
Yeah.
Because you had all your experiences, you know, even the influence of your mother that you dedicate this book to. So all all this, right? So I think this is awesome. I mean, to me, you've blessed me and blessed our audience in doing this. And again, you know, what we try to do here, Sean, in this radio show is we tell people, look at, own your own knowledge. get this information. Hopefully what it does, you know, whatever we're talking about, that they go, hey, you know what? I didn't quite see it that way, but I'm going to look into it further. God bless you. That's awesome. You know, because that's what we hope to do, is we want people to be enlarged and expanded as a result of these conversations. And, for all the hard work that you did, it wasn't like you put this book together just because, you had nothing better to do, right? It was some kind of, vanity project or something, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, it's an incredible story. I will say, going into it, I knew all next to nothing about many of the stories I ended up writing about. And, on one level, the book certainly has sort of takeaways. I talk a little bit about how, the lessons we can learn from the United States' own rise when thinking about the rise of nations like China today. But beyond that, it's frankly just I hope it's just an engaging tale that, folks can read and sort of follow along with the various coups and interventions and sort of the highs and the lows of the United States' rise to global power. And hopefully it's just an interesting journey, beyond any lessons that might be in it.
Well, and I think, relative to what we were saying earlier in terms of transparency, you kind of lift the hood on the country. And we're able to kind of look in the hood a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's a part of our history that is not often, that people don't like spending a lot of time thinking about, because it's not, it's not the happiest part of our history. It's not, the part where we best exemplified our values and our principles. But I think it's in many ways important to understand those parts of history just as much as it is important to understand the parts of our history where we really, we're at our best.
But even in our own individual lives, Sean, haven't you experienced some things that, we didn't need to talk about on the show here, but, less than grand moments, but those are your moments, and you decided, okay, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to be a better version of myself for that experience, right? And that, in a sense, I think America has done that. Corporately, have we done it within the institutions? I think that opportunity is still there, but it really takes it takes a unique commitment, individual commitment and leadership in order to realize that, because institutions being what they are, as you said, they kind of have a mind of their own, don't they?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right.
So let's touch on dollar diplomacy. We've got a couple of minutes here left, and this is part two of the Great Power Exposition here. Actually, I lied to you. We got about a minute. How much can you tell us about, Chapter 9 in dollar diplomacy, just to give people a taste of what they can look forward to?
Yeah, so dollar diplomacy was this policy that was enacted by the Taft administration that basically the U.S. had gone in and reoccupied Cuba from 1906 to 1909. And the Taft administration just did not want that to happen again. They were really scarred by the use of force against our neighbors. And they basically decided that the way to avoid using bullets was to use banknotes instead. And so the dollar diplomacy was this effort to sort of cure the instability in the region by essentially financial tools. But as I talk in the book, and I'll leave the rest for readers, it did not quite go as planned, and in fact, just threw the
exactly
further. Yeah.
Well, you've got to get your hands on the book, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wrap here. Sean Mirsky has been with us. We May Dominate the World, available at all the usual places.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you curious about what